was another girl.
Okay, very good. Okay, we can now start the shir. We will now begin the shir. I think I'll put it in. We're going to do Parshas Balak, which of course is extremely interesting parsha. It's the only parsha where you don't find the Yidden mentioned. There's no Moshe Rabbeinu in it until the very end of the parsha. So it is a fascinating story, and we're going to talk about three speeches that are given in the parsha by different people, three remarks, and then we're going to talk about friendship and what the real meaning of friendship is. So let's begin by take a look in Perek Chav Beis. We're going to go to the top of the page in page 448, and it says in Pasuk Tes, Vayavo Elohim, you pass it one, and Hashem came El Bilam, and Hashem comes to Bilam, Vayomer, Mi Hanoshim Elimach, right? Bilam's going out with the people of Mayav and Balak ben Sipor, Melech Lemayav Beis Ahiyaz, and they hire him, and he's going with them, and Hashem says, who are these people? Vayomer Bilam Elohim, Balak ben Sipor, Melech Lemayav, Shalach Elai. It was Balak ben Sipor. He's, as I'll say, he's puffing himself up. He says, the famous Balak ben Sipor. He gives a whole speech to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, there was a land that went out from Mitzrayim. The Achaz is Einarz, and it covered the land. Atam now, Lecha kavali, ulai lechambavi gerashtiv. Vayomer Elohim el Bilam, and Hashem says, lo selech imoyam, lo sorasam, don't go with them, don't curse them, ki baruch hu, they are a blessed nation. That is the story in a nutshell. So Galinsky brings a medrash, an important medrash, to discuss Bilam's response. Again, what did Bilam answer back? He said, Balak ben Zim Melamayav Shalach Elai, and he gives Balak's little speech about it. There's a nation, they're coming out, they're covering the land, and so on. Page 448, Pasuk Tes and Yud Alf. So the medrash says as follows, Arba Heim, there are four. Shehikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kankanim, the Hashem, so to speak, tapped them on their heads. Umatza Ovid Shal Shaifchim, and he found in them an empty head. He found in them a head full of waste. Ve'elayim, who are the four people? Adam, V'kayin, U'bilim, V'chizkiyot. Four people, Adam, Kain, Bilim, V'chizkiyot, that Hashem spoke to them, and they answered, in fact, what the Mishnah is, what the Medrash is saying, they answered Narishkayin, they answered something inappropriate, which they shouldn't have answered. Hashem spoke to them, and he got out from them. So he says, who are these four people? He said, four people, three out of the four, were G'day Le'olam. Adam Rishon, who can compare to Adam Rishon? Says that Adam Rishon saw from one end of the world to the other. He was almost like a malach. He was such a high level of ruchnius. Who was the second one? Cain. Cain stayed a Navi, even after he killed Hevel. Hashem speaks to him directly. Right, Hashem talks to Cain. Cain's a great man. Chizkiyahu Melech, it says by Chizkiyahu that he could have been Melech HaMashiach. He was supposed to be Melech HaMashiach, but it says the generation wasn't worthy. And who's the fourth one? Our Bilam. And Bilam, we know, was a Navi on a par with Moshe Rabbeinu. So you talk about four great people. And nevertheless, the Medrash says that when Hashem, so to speak, tapped them on the head and spoke to them, he found it full of Narishkeit. They answered inappropriately. What was that they said when Hashem spoke to them that was so inappropriate that the Mishnah, the Medrash compares it to Ovid Shel Shaifchem, such an expression. So he says the Medrash like this. Because what did Adam say? Vayomer Adam, when Hashem came to Adam and said, hey, you know you ate from the Eitz Hadas. So what was Adam's answer? It's that woman that you gave to me. She gave me to eat. That's how he answered. What did Cain say when he said to Cain, hey, you killed Hevel? Senemer vayomer Hashem l'Kain, Eve Hevel achi, where's Hevel, your brother? Vayomer lo yadati, I don't know, Hashem achi anochi. What did Bilam HaRosha answer in our pasuk? When Hashem says, who is with you? He says, oh, Balak ben Sibur, Melech Moav Shalach Elai. And what did Chizkiyahu HaMelech say? It says, and Yeshaya, the Navi, came to Chizkiyahu, and he said to him, what did these people say? The Shluchim of the Melech of Bavel. And where are they from? And Chizkiyahu said, they came from a faraway land, they came from Bavel. All of them answered inappropriately, because when Hashem asks you a question, he's asking a question to open the conversation. He doesn't not know. Chas v'shalom, Rachman Tzlan, how can you think that? What should they have answered? They should have said, Ribbono Shalom. When Adam, we'll take Adam as an example. Hashem says, Adam, you know, what happened over here? How'd you eat from the Eitz HaDaas? So what happened? Who gave it to you? So what does Adam give a whole teretz? And Adam starts to answer back. Or Cain says, where's Hevel? How am I supposed to know? They should have said to him, answered appropriately. The appropriate answer is, Kol goli lefanecha. Everything is known to you, Hashem. Vein kol dover nel mimeka. Nothing's hidden from you. Filiatosho, what are you asking me for? You know the answer. You must be telling me something more important. When you're asking me, where's Hevel, your brother? You're not asking, where's Hevel? It's like you go to a little child. And you want to talk to him, and you want to give him, and you tell him something. You really don't mean to say sometimes the simple thing. The child doesn't always understand what you're saying to him. So over here also, they didn't understand when he said, where's Hevel, your brother? He didn't understand. He said, well, he's not here. I don't know where he is. He meant saying, where is your brother? Why'd you kill him? And he should have answered that. So that's the answer. That was why the four of them were inappropriate. So what's the lesson we can learn from here? Says Rabbi Yerucham, the Mashkiach Amir, the lesson is that we have to always be ready, that nobody should ever sneak up on us and talk to us and we're not ready to respond, that we don't know how to answer. It says in the Pasuk, V'hoser satan b'fanecha, we daven, Hashem should take the satan from in front of us, me'achareinu, from in front of us, and from behind us. M'faneinu me'achareinu. We daven every morning, Hashem, take the satan in front of us and behind us. What does that mean, the satan in front of us and behind us? And the answer is that sometimes we know the satan is coming to us. Sometimes we know that we take a look, we can see the satan coming, and we're prepared. We say, I got to be careful. You see somebody walking toward you that you always know speaks Lashon Hara, so you're prepared. That's it. You're prepared for it. So we're saying in the Pasuk, it says, V'hasar Satan v'fanein macharenu. We tell the Satan to go, we daven every morning to Hashem, take the Satan away from in front of us and behind us. And the question is, we understand what it means to take the Satan from in front of us. What does it mean, the Satan from behind us? So he said, the Satan from in front of us means when the Satan comes and we see him walking down the block, we have time to prepare. Behind us means when he creeps up on us and we didn't get a chance. Sometimes you fall into a situation, you blurt something out. So how many times have we had that somebody asks us a question and we answer it, and then afterwards when we have time to calm down, we say, oi, I should have said this, I should have said that, I should have said the other thing. And instead we said something narsh because we didn't have time. So that's what happened to Bilam. Bilam was asked, when Hashem said, who are these people with you? Hashem didn't mean to ask, I don't know who they are. And he says, oh, it's Balak. I wasn't asking who are these people. I say, why are you going with these people? They're evil. They want to do bad things. That's what I'm asking you. You didn't understand what I'm asking you. Why? Because they came upon Bilam too quickly. And the same thing we said with Adam and Cain and Chizkiah, that they came too fast and they weren't prepared to answer. And your Yerucham Amir says, that's the lesson we all have to know, is we have to be prepared to answer. We have to be prepared when something happens and not let it creep up on us. The pasuk, there's a pasuk in Eif, beautiful pasuk. It says, Malfeinu mi Bahamas Aretz. Malfeinu Bahamas, a pasuk in Lamed Hei Yud Aleph, and they translate, how does that translate? It says, if they will listen and serve him. One too far. Who makes us more knowing than the beasts of the field? Malfeinu mi Bahamas Aretz. It makes us wise in the bird of the sky. That's as they state in the Pasuk in Eov. It says, that's what it says. Malfeinu mi Bahamas Aretz. And therefore, mi Oif HaShemayim Yichak Menu. I'm smart like the Oif HaShemayim. What does that mean, I'm smart like the Oif HaShemayim? What does it mean to be smart like a bird? If anything, what are we talking when we want to talk about somebody who's not smart? What's an insulting way of calling somebody not? A bird brain, right. But what does a bird have? You never catch a bird unaware. You try and creep up on a bird, he's gone, flies away. Because the bird's eyes are made that it's always looking. The bird's eyes are always seeing danger. So the bird knows to fly away. That's the way we have to be. That's what we can learn from the bird. We have to be ready that when something happens, not to fall into an avera, not to fall into an insensitivity, not to fall into a remark that hurts somebody's feelings. We always have to be ready. And we have to. And that's the lesson that we learned from this parsha. The first lesson that we learned from this parsha is how we have to be careful that even when we get caught unaware, even when the satan comes, mi'achareinu, comes from behind us, and we're not ready, we have to be ready. And what's the way to be ready? How do we prepare ourselves? And the answer, by going to shiur, by learning. Without Torah, we aren't prepared. If we sit down and we, just like a lahavdil, a player in a game, what does he do? He prepares himself. Somebody who's running in the Olympics, he trains for years till he can run a race. Somebody who's in a football game, a baseball game, all these things, they train and train. They're in the spelling. Just read, there were two people, one the spelling bee in the United States with some big words, never heard of them. But what is it? Because they trained. So we have to train too. That's the lesson we're learning. Because if we don't train, we'll do the same thing that they did. We just won't be ready. We'll say something we shouldn't say. But if we train ourselves and we learn Musa Sfarim, we learn books that make us think about it, sensitivity to other people, sensitivity to mitzvahs, how to do things, then we will also be trained and we will not have to, we will become like the bird who's always ready for danger, is always ready for the next move. So that's what we can learn from, and in that way we will not be caught unaware by the Yetzer Hara when he tries to trap us. So speech number one, we said we're going to talk about three drushes, three speeches. Speech number one was Bilaam's first speech, where Bilaam told Hashem, when he was asked, so, where's, who are these people with you? And right away his first answer was Balak, and the answer was wrong, and we learn from here not to do that, but to be ready to answer the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's go on to our second lesson, and the second speech. The second speech is more famous than this speech. This is a speech that every school child knows the speech. So what was it? Let's turn to the next page, page 449, and we have the story of the Asan, the donkey of Bilaam. And I won't go through the whole story. It is many, many psukim. But we all love the story. It says, what happened? Just a chazer over. The donkey's walking with Bilaam along the way. And then the donkey comes, and the malach stands in front of the donkey. And three times, doesn't let him go. First he goes to one side, he goes to the other side. Then he's on both sides, he can't go. And he stops there. What happens? Out comes Bilaam in a fit of rage, and he starts to beat the donkey, and he starts to yell at the donkey, and a chutzpah. So what happens? Let's do a couple of psukim. Pasuk of Zayin v'atera osin is malach Hashem v'atirbatz tachas Bilaam. He sits down. I'm not going. V'yichraf Bilaam v'yachas osin. He hits him b'makel. So what happens? So here comes the one time in all of history that we know that a behemoth is allowed to talk. Vayiftach Hashem is piyosin. Hashem opens up the mouth of the osin. The comparison to last week, 2 weeks ago, Yiftach as piyaris. We have another time we'll talk about. Vatayim lebilam, and he says, Ma sisi lecha ki kisi zeh shalosh pamin regalim. Why did you hit me three times? Rashi says, of course, shalosh regalim is three amtayvim. Vayayim lebilam leosin ki salal to be lu yishcher biyadi. If I had a sword, I would kill you. So the Asan is mortally insulted, and then he takes and he gal Hashem, and then Hashem opens the eyes of Bilaam, and he sees the Malach, and we'll continue on in the story. So basically, the Asan talks back to him, and he says in Pasuk Lamed, the time Asan the second time, El Bilaam, Haloi Noichi Asoincha Asherach of Alai Bi'Oicha Ara Yom Azeh, I'm your donkey that's been on you till this day. Haskein is gone to Lasais. Why did you do this? Have you ever done anything bad to you? He says, no. And so on. So, this is the second speech we're going to talk about. The speech of the Asan. And he makes a beautiful point about the speech of the Asan from a direction I don't think everybody thinks about. And it's a tremendous lesson to us. And he starts out with a story. It's a famous story. It says that it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the halacha is shiroi l'chol yari shemaim is made to redoyg al churban. Everybody has to be. Everybody, perfect. You're starting a new word. We're just starting a new word. Says everybody has to be afraid of, worried about the churban that's coming up. Now, but we're coming to Shavuos Matanis on Sunday. In 3 weeks from then, we'll have Tisha B'Av. So it says every yari shemaim should worry about it. So the kash is, and if you're not a yari shemaim, you don't have to worry about it. Should also be worried about the churban if you're not a Yorei Shemayim. So the answer is, of course he's chayiv, but what can you do? He doesn't feel the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. He's pretty happy with the way things are. And they tell the famous story, we'll just say it over because it's always a fun story, of the farmer who came home from the drasha on Shabbos HaGadol, and he told his wife, you should know the rabbi said that during Chodesh Nisan, Mashiach's coming. And then he says to her, but what are we going to do? Mashiach's coming. But we, you know, we built this whole corral. We have sheep. We have sheep. We have our cattle. We have our goats. I mean, what's going to happen? We're going to be in trouble. So his wife says to him, Kat Namuna, ah, you have no faith. He says, listen, we've had all these problems until now. Hashem will solve this problem also. He'll figure out how to take care of it. The Mashiach won't come. Don't worry about it. So then he thinks about it. He says, you know, maybe it's not a bad idea that Mashiach should come. You know, the Cossacks, you know, we have these cows and sheep and all that, but we always got to worry that the Cossacks are going to come and take them away. The peasants, the Russian peasants are going to come and take them away from us. So maybe it's not a good thing that we should, you know, that the Mashiach should come. So he says, V'nakad l'mokam betuch, we'll come to a better place. So his wife thinks about it a little bit. And she says, you know, say, I have an idea. We should daven that Hashem should make it that the Cossacks should go to Israel. Let the Russian peasants, they'll go to Israel, and we'll stay here, and they won't bother us anymore. So that's the story. Because there's no feeling of tzipis Yeshua, said the Chafetz Chaim, at the first Knesset Gedola. He gave a speech, imagine the Chafetz Chaim's there, when everyone's around him, and he gives a speech, says, every single day, we say, Asamach David Avdecha Meheres Hatzmiyav Ekarnet Torah Meshua Sefer. Ki Yeshua's Tvinu Kol Yon. Every day in Hashem Esri, three times a day, say Hashem should bring Mashiach, and we're looking for it every single day. All day. Kalayan. So he said the Chavetz Chaim, are we really looking for Mashiach? Kol Hayayim? Are we really looking all day? So what's the Pshat? Pshat is because we're satisfied. We're not looking for Aliyah. We're not looking to go up. It scares us a little bit. And we're sort of a little bit happy where we are. So he says, that's what happened over here. He says, can you imagine the Chamor of Bilam? Bilam's donkey. What should he have said? Here Bilam, Hashem lets him speak. He's got the one opportunity of an animal in his whole life. And what does he tell Bilam? What should he have told Bilam? He should have said, get off of me. Go away. I don't even do with you. You hit me. Instead, what does he tell him back? Don't hit me so hard. Don't hit me too hard. He says, why did he said like that? Why didn't he say, that's it, Bilam, I'm finished with you. Go away. Hashem gave me to speak, and I don't want to talk to you. Instead, he says, Bilam, I'm your donkey, your faithful donkey. Don't hit me so hard. He says, because a chamor, nisher chamor, a donkey stays a donkey. A chamor never, he's a chamor. He only has limited ability. He can't think more than that. The chamor can't think of freedom. A chamor can only think, don't hit me so hard. That's a chamor. Because that's as much as a chamor can think. And that was the chamor of Bilam. So we see from his drush, from the way he spoke to Bilam, that he couldn't think past it. He gives a story, a mashal. There was in the Tsar's army, he used to be surrounded. They used to have the Cossacks, were taka, the ones who guarded the Tsar. So one time there was an assassination attempt on the Tsar, not one time, probably plenty of times, but one of the Cossacks was able to, thwart the assassination attempt. He foiled it, and the Tsar was very happy with him. So he said, we got to honor this guy. We got to do something for him. Bring him in to me. So they bring him into the Tsar, and he brings the Cossack in, comes and yes, my Tsar, and he tells him, what's your name? And he says, my name is Turai Vladimir. That's his name. He's the soldier Vladimir. So he says, Vladimir, you saved my life. I want to do something for you. Tell me anything in my kingdom. Yours. So what does he tell him? He says, you know, I have my the captain, that's my head of the captain. He's very hard on us. He doesn't give us enough food. And sometimes he hits us. If the Tsar would please talk to him and just tell him to treat us nicer, that's what I want. Tsar says, okay, you got it. That's what you asked for, you got it. So he calls in the captain, and he says, listen, Vladimir saved my life, and I want to give you two things, and listen very closely to these two things. So he says, what are the two things, my Tsar? So he says, the two things are, one, stop chepping him, treat him like a better, and two, never give him a promotion. So he says, why? He saved your life, never give him a promotion. So he says, ki eini chavetz v'katzinim shaitim. I don't want idiots to be my officers. He says, I offered him anything. And what does he do? It's a shite that tells me just that, you know, he should get a little more food and you should treat him better. That's what? I don't want such a person. This guy, he obviously does not have the asagas that an officer needs. He'll be a soldier for the rest of his life. He can't go past any. A chamor blight the chamor. Chamor stays a chamor. And that was Bilam's donkey. And then he says, unfortunately, us. The story said, Why did the farmer with his wife in the humorous story say about Mashiach? Because they can't think of Mashiach. It's past their level, their grade level, their pay level. They can't think past that. When we also are very much like that, how much of our life could we be doing more and we're afraid and we just don't do more? We don't get involved. We don't learn more. We don't do more chesed. It's because chamor black to chamor. There's a chamor. You know what a chamor? You know the color of a chamor is?
Great.
Brown. All chamorim have the same color. Horses, all different colors. You know, dogs, they're all. Chamor is the zelbe color. You know what his color is? Earth. Because it's a chashtik earth. Because he can't do more than that. He's limited.
Chomer.
Chomer. The word chomer comes from chomer, which is the color of the ground. And because the ground, they're limited. It's as much as they can do. And you can't expect more from them. But from us, we can expect more. From mensch, we can expect more. So we have to learn from the asana bilim. We have to learn what not to be. Not to answer, give me a few crumbs. We dive into the ribayishim. Dive in big things. Dive for a lot. Daven to grow, daven to klal Yisrael. Don't think, who am I to daven for all of klal Yisrael? That's been daven for everybody. You know what they say, we've always often said, why is the Rav daven longer from us than everyone else? Because when I daven, I have to daven for myself, for my wife, for my kids, my family, my co-workers, I have to daven for, people I daven with, The Rav's got everybody in the shul daven with all their families and so on. It takes him a long time to get through the whole shul, That's not so simple for him. So we have to learn to grow, to think big. Don't be a chamor. Don't think like the chamor of Bilam that just said, okay, just don't hit me so much, that's enough. We have to think big, and that's the lesson, the second lesson that we learn from this parsha. We learn about how we have to think big, we have to think in ways that we can always grow, and we shouldn't let ourselves just blibe a chamor, just stay where we are, just blibe with nothing. And then the third speech is Nach HaDrasha from Bilam. And what did Bilam say? Bilam was a smart guy. Let me tell you, Bilam was a very bright man. Might have been evil. They say just because he's evil doesn't mean he's stupid. So what happens over here? So turn the page to page 450, and it says, "V'gal Hashem es einei Bilam," and Hashem opens the eyes of Bilam. "V'yaris malach Hashem nitzav baderech," and he sees the angel of Hashem standing in the way. And he's holding a sword. And he's terrified. He bows down in front of a Malach Elohim, especially Malach Elohim standing with a sword. Why did you hit your us three times? I went out as a sultan. I was there. And he explains the whole story to Bilam, because Bilam didn't understand what was going on. He didn't put it together that the Malach showed up with the Asin refusing to go. So the Malach explains him, this is what happened. Vatirani Asin, and the Asin saw me, Vatate Lafanai Zesholosh Regolim, Ulai Notsimi Ponai, Ki Ata Gam Oisra Haragti, Vi Oisra Chiesa, I would kill you and make him alive. Okay, so here we have the setup for the speech. Here comes the Malach Elohim, and it says, I'm going to explain to you what just happened over here. I was standing in front of your Asin. The Austin was afraid to go, and that's why he did it. So what are you hitting him for? So what should the answer have been? How am I supposed to know? How was I supposed to know what I didn't know what's going on. I see him. I didn't see you. All I see is my Austin's refusing to go. And I was upset. What's that? He's a donkey. It didn't occur to me. Now you're telling me you're here? So what should Bilam's answer? He had a very good answer. I had no idea what you're talking about until you explained it to me. So what do you want for my life? Are you going to kill me for this? I mean, isn't that a lot? So what's the pshat? So listen to what does Bilam say? This is why Bilam was so smart. Vayomer Bilam el Malach Hashem chotasi, I made a mistake. Ki yodati ki ata nitzav likrasi, had I known that you were there, but there the ata imrabe nechashuvali, you're not happy. Okay, no problem. I'll go back. What would our response have been? We've talked about this many times. I didn't see what he wanted for my life. I didn't see you. He didn't say that. Adam Arishan, right? We were talking before the beginning of the year. What does Adam Arishan say? Me, my wife, right? Kain, Hevel. I don't know where Hevel is, right? Shol Amalek. What do you mean? I did what you wanted. Everybody's right away with the truth. But here he was right. They were wrong. He was right. So why did he say? What was Pshat? He said, Chatasa. Because he knew. He knew that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want trutzim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to fend for yourself. If you get a criticism, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, I'm trying to correct you. So he understood right away that by saying Chatasi, he will take away the anger of the Malach. And it worked. And by the way, it's very good in at home and in business to have this attitude of Bilam. We can learn it from him. Well, we shouldn't learn from him. David HaMelech did the same thing. Also, Chatasi. But this is even more so. David HaMelech, you could say there was things. Here he's totally innocent. And he said Chatasi. But if you want to stop a Machlokes from forming, if you want to stop there to be a disagreement, if you want any, all you have to do is say the word chatasi, and that's the end of arguments. Right? It works in shalom bias, it works in families.
Sorry.
Right. Try to get people to do it, it makes it sound easy. It's actually very hard. Nobody likes to do it. But if you do it, it's an argument. And so that's what he says. He said chatasi.
He didn't say
Chatas Hashem.
Right?
He said,
Hashem, right?
He said, yeah, you said Chatas. Yeah. Davmel said Chatas Hashem, yeah. Even more so. Yeah. So listen, but we asked the question, why didn't Itaki answer it? So we said, our answer is that, he knew how to play it. He was a genius. He says in the Seferno and the Shalom Kodesh that a different Ryan, and you can tell a couple of stories that will show this. Ki'im Adam Raya. If he sees he's having things bad happen to him, all of lahavim shemashub karapai, he has to think, why did this happen to me? It's a message from Hashem. It's a signal. So what he said, he understood Bilam, that if his asin is going down through that without knowing any reasons, he understood there's something here. This doesn't happen. This is not a normal thing. And if it happened, I have to think about it. I can't just let this go. And he says that if Bilam HaRasha did it, so Kal V'Chaimer, us, that we have to think about it. Listen to what the Rambam said. Let's learn a Rambam in Hilchos Tainus. We're coming up to Tainus, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Midarchei HaTshuva, one of the ways of Tshuva, Shebizman Shetov Atzorah V'Yizakola, when the Tzorah comes to Klal Yisrael, so you cry in it, V'Yiriyu, we should know that it happened because they're doing bad stuff. As it says, by doing tshuva, they'll get rid of the... now, here comes the part we're not saying. But if something bad happens, and you don't use that as an opportunity for self-reflection, it happens. It's coincidental. It's an agzorius. It's cruelty. Because you're taking away the opportunity to do tshuva. As we said many times from Avigdor Miller, says if you have a toothache and you go to the dentist and he fix it, it's a terrible shod. You missed an opportunity to daven when you had the toothache. Hashem had a toothache. What's the reason I had the toothache? Let me think about it. Now, we're not talking about averus. We're talking about something else. Listen to this. It says, Rapapa went on a sulam. Rapapa, the great Rapapa, went up on a ladder. Nishmato ragli. And he started to, like something go up on a ladder, and unfortunately you miss a few steps. He missed a step, and he almost fell. What was his reaction? What would our reaction be?
He almost fell. He didn't fall.
Right. Baruch Hashem, I didn't fall. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch. What did Rapapa say? Elon Nafalti, if I would have fallen, that would have been the beginning of Misa of Skila. Because when you do Skila, you go up on the ladder to go to the roof where they throw you down, where they throw the person down. And he said, and that's how he was thinking. His thinking was, what did I do that could be, that Skila could come to me? It says there's a case where Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine go sour. So his friends came in and said, did you do tshuva yet? Something must have happened. Did you think about what happened to you? Maybe something happened to you. And he goes through many cases in the Gemara where we find that one of the Amorayim or Tanoim had something bad happen to him. And his friend said to him, okay, what did you do? That was their immediate reaction. And that's a friend. And that's a friendship. That a person who can help another person see that something happened and what it is. And that's really what Eov is all about. The whole story of Eov is all these things and just trying to figure it out. Why did it happen? Something bad happened. What's this whole Eov? They're all sitting with Eov. The whole 50 prakim, whatever it is of Eov, is all sitting with Eov trying to figure out why did bad things happen to good people. And our answer is, and one of the answers is, bad things have good people because it's a way of making us think. It's a way of making us sensitive.
It's a fine line here, because maybe Hashem's testing you to see if you'll continue on, right? Like, he's going to that cave, maybe Hashem really does want
that's irrelevant to that. In other words, you might decide I have to go forward anyway.
But just stop.
But I have to stop. Realize that's like a yellow light, a caution sign.
Stop and think.
Start thinking
Re-evaluate.
About it.
Reevaluate.
Right. And we find that, but like, for example, by Nachum Ish Gamzu, so what did he punish himself for? He didn't do it because he wasn't fast enough for the Ani. Lots of these cases, when you go through each, there's so many, and we don't have time for it, but in each of these cases, when they think about it, it's usually because they didn't have sensitivity to another person. Because they didn't behave sensitively. Going back to our first conversation, you didn't think fast enough. So therefore, each time these things happen, it's a way of making us think. So he tells a story from Rabbi Yecheskel Levenstein. It was the great Mashgiach Rabbi Yecheskel. I remember when I learned in Tells in Chicago, he was still alive. I remember Rabbi Levin always talked about the Zeder Rabbi Yecheskel Zolgzunzain. He's tell over. Rabbi Yecheskel was a Shane Darvin in the Yeshiva world. He was like the Mashgiach. You know, we talk about nowadays in America, you say the Mashgiach. You don't have to say Rabbi Solomon. Everybody knows it's Rabbi Matzio is the Mashgiach. Might be other Mashgiach in Baruch Hashem. But so that was Rabbi Yecheskel. So he says Rabbi Yecheskel was sitting Shiva. So Chatzko sitting Shiva, and he was talking to Raglinsky, and he tells him, he says, "Oy, Nabuch, I have no friends. No friends." So he says, "What are you talking? You have no friends? This place has been packed for a whole week. Thousands and thousands of people, the whole Eretz Yisrael came to Menachem Mobile." So he says, "What do you mean? I don't have ani ledavoni ainli chaverim." So he says, "What do you mean? Did hamti? What do you mean ainli chaverim? Ma masa Menachem, thousands of people." So listen to what he answered. Achin rabim boim Menachem, ach ish mehem le amar li le ayin mar b'mile. Not one said, "Did you look to see why this thing happened to you? Did you take a look?" Not one is a good chaver like the chaver of Iyo would have said to me. Sorry. A good chaver would have said to me, "Why did this happen? You got to look in la'ayin mar b'milei, which is the lashon of the Gemara. Look into what your deeds are." So I don't have anybody told me that. Of course, who's going to tell Rabbi Yecheskel Levenstein that? But that's what he said. That's what he said. He said, if you find all of these cases, that's the bottom line. Is we have to take a look, and when something happens, it should be something. It should be a signal. Think. Yifashish Maisa. Think. Coming up. We're starting, we can hear the echoes of Elul coming right now, and we have to start thinking about these things. Let's think about, do we say hello properly? Do we say with enough of a smile? We're not talking about Averis. They're not talking about Averis. These Tanaim and Amraim, there wasn't all these stories. We're not talking about people who have Averis. We're talking about the things that they got, that they were feeling bad on. Maybe I wasn't sensitive enough. Maybe I didn't help somebody enough. Maybe I didn't do enough. That's the things that we got to look out for. Let's just do one more thing and take a look in Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Aleph. We said we're going to end. We were talking about friendship. So let's talk about friendship. What's a true friend? So Rashi, the Pasuk said like this, amongst the things that Bilam said are wonderful about that Klal Yisrael, Lo hibit avon b'Yakov, lo ra amol b'Yisrael, Hashem alakov imay, usruas melech boy. What does it mean, the word Sruas Melech Boy? The Trua of the Melech. What is this Trua of the Melech? So he perceived no iniquity in Yaakov, saw in the perversity in Israel, Hashem is God, the friendship of the king is with him. They learn the words Truas from the word Reim, from the word Areya, is a friend. Vahafta, Lareacha, Kamaicha. It's a friend. So Sruas Melech Boy, they're friends of the king. What does it mean to be a friend of the king? It says Rashi that Bilam expressed the futility of any attempt to curse B'nai Yisrael, for Hashem does not scrutinize iniquity, criticize their shortcomings, even when they provoke him. And therefore he says, I can't do it. I can't curse them. Hashem loves them too much. Sruach Melech Boy, they're the friends of the king. Try starting up with the friends of the king, right? Try starting with, you know, Lahavdil, one of our president's friends, you know. You're going to be in trouble? So he said, that's what he said. So he asked the question, what is it? What do we call them? Struas Melech Boy. They're the friends of the king, says Rashi. What does it mean to be the friends of the king? It says, because Hashem does not criticize them even when they hurt him, even when they insult him. So he says, wait a second. Isn't a good friend somebody that's just the opposite? A A good friend is somebody that can criticize you, that
like
can
a
help
child,
you.
Child, child.
Right, that's a, yeah, it's a friend.
A friend, yeah.
Right, if you're my friend, you'll say something, right? If I need something, if I'm whatever, a friend will talk to you in a way that another person won't. They'll call you over. I don't know if you should have said that. Not a good idea. A regular person isn't going to do that for you. So why is Truas Melech Boy that he doesn't criticize them, even when they hurt him? It should be the opposite. Should be that they criticize. Listen, he says a beautiful pshat over here. This is Rabbi Yochanan Zweig. It says like this. It says, V'haftal re'acha kamaycha. Which is bigger? Re'acha or Ava? Which is higher on the level of relationships? So I would say, Ava. Because it says, V'haftal re'acha. Take, he says, you shouldn't translate re'acha. He says, neighbor is the wrong word. It's supposed to be, re'acha means friend. V'haftal re'acha. Love your friend. Kamaycha. That means love is higher than friend. It's a higher level because you want to take what you already have in Rea and add on Ava. So Ava seems to be a higher level than friendship. Love is higher than friendship. Ava is higher than Reus. So he said, I got a problem with that shot. Because if you look at Sheva Brachas, what do we say in Sheva Brachas? How do we say it? Ava, V'achva, V'shalom, V'reus. So what does that imply? Reus is higher because you're going in ascending order. You're going from the lowest. You have Ava. The couple should have Ava. They should have Akva. They have Shalom. They should have Reus. So here it's Mashma that Reus is higher than Ava. And here in the Pasuk it's Mashma, it's lower. So where is it? What is it? So he answers what we've been talking about. This really ties in beautifully what we're talking about. So there's two types of friends. There's one friend that's a regular friend. You're friendly with the person. But you're really afraid to open your heart to that person. Because if you know if you open your heart to that person, it might get out. You know, you don't know how good that friendship is. It's a friend, but then you have a real close friend, a bosom buddy. That's a person that you'll mamish open your heart to. And you'll tell them everything. That's a different... So what says, V'ahavta re'acha kamaycha, talk about the first type of friend. V'ahavta love l're'acha kamaycha. Bring him up to the level, from the level of re'acha to the level of ava. But in the Shevet Brachos, we're talking to the husband and wife. So then we're saying, bring him to the highest level. Bring him to the second level of Reus. Ava v'yakva shalom v'reus. The level of Reus, where you can criticize each other. Where you can talk to each other. It's open. Why? Because there's true love there. It was true love. Then each one understands when it's a criticism, it's done for a purpose. And that's what we're asking. So that's the difference between Reus. So he says, with this we can understand what we're doing over here. He says, now let's get back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, when you criticize, it's difficult to accept criticism graciously from a friend of the second category, especially when it emanates from an injured party. It's hard if you did something bad to somebody, he criticizes you, it's hard to accept it.
It could be the person you criticize very touchy and...
That's a different story. We're talking about the median. every case is different, but the median is that it's when the person, it's harder to accept. But if the person, the second level of Reus, if the criticism given by a person we know for our best interests at heart, we accept the rebuke is meant to prevent us from harmful behavior. So that's what Rashi means. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticizes, but he doesn't criticize us because we said bad things to him, because that's the first type of criticism. That if it comes from that, we're not going to. It's going to be hard to accept it. If we do something bad and Hashem says, "Oh, you hurt me," it's hard to accept. But Hashem said, for our purpose only. It's not because of them. It's only because of His love for us. He's not involved in this. It's not. So that's what Rashi means. Even if we say hurtful things to Him, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't criticize because of that. When He criticizes us, it's out of a true love and a true ava for us, a true reis. The highest level of reis and the highest level of av is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says for us. And if we can be on that level with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can also accept any teichacha that we get and take it to heart rather than getting defensive with it. So we learned a few speeches, learned about Bilaam's first speech when he says, when Hashem says, who's Balak? Who's there? And he says, it's Balak, and he should have said, Hashem, you know better than I do. We learned from the donkey that the donkey, instead of saying, get away from me, he says, just don't hit me so hard, that we have to learn to grow and not just be a donkey. We learned from Bilaam's second words. We learned from, now we learn from, you know, over here from Bilaam. We learn all of these things, and the ultimate is the parsha, as in every parsha, we learn so many good things from, and we learn how to treat other people, how to have true ava and have true achva, and have true shalom and have true reyos. Halavai, we shall be zeichet in our relationships with each other. Next week we will have Shir Bez.